Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Our modern-day prophet, Octavia Butler, famously wrote, "All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change." As true as that might be, as much as we like to think of ourselves as progressives who love change, when changes cascade in the world that feel not just unsettling, but downright terrifying, we're jarred into a special kind of grief. Now, when we lose a loved one, we have all kinds of formal rituals and cultural practices to carry us through the first few tenderest, most disorienting weeks. But when this season of fire and farewells becomes a lasting season of loss, not just of close kin, but of deeper, more ominous facts we relied on, the fire seems a little hotter, their farewells a little more jarring. There's no official roadmap for mourning the upending of democracy, the arrival of creeping fascism, or the loss of human rights. We don't even want to talk about it much. I can't tell you how many conversations I've been in over the past year where once the traditional small talk is exhausted, just about anything we mention gets back to the state of the world. And no one wants to be spreading their downer thoughts with brand new acquaintances, so we politely move on. And yet the grief we're carrying is real. The sense of overwhelm at the things to be done and the question of how responsible we are for it, how to do our part and also take care of ourselves, and the very real loss of not only freedoms, but of ideas of what could be possible. We carry the too much of it all, the tears, the frustration, the rage, while everything is somehow supposed to carry on as normally as possible. This overall feeling is described beautifully, and this morning I'm going to invite you to just touch on those uncomfortable feelings in worship, okay? So just be prepared for that. And the fact that we're going to work through them together, okay? We're hearing it together. So this overall feeling is described beautifully by the poet Lindsay Rush in How to Be a Person in the World. "Let the sorrow of it all sink deep into your bones. But don't forget to finish the laundry and water the lawn and dry your eyes. Dream up a 5-year plan for your small business while picturing your baby doing a lockdown drill in kindergarten. Discover new music and laugh at new jokes and let creativity drip from each of your fingertips. And be mindful that you have neighbors who are starving and dying and fighting for the most basic of freedoms. Look up how much protein you should be eating, and also what to do if you're in public with an active shooter. Get your moles checked, get your head checked, get a mammogram and a grip, and the new thriller book everyone's talking about on TikTok. But please, dear God, don't forget the oceans, the ozone layer, the rhinos, the emails, the dogs and cats that need forever homes. Try to grapple with the fact that your parents are starting to get old, but also with the future of AI and the pending recession and the billionaires and the depth of division between you and the so many people that you love. It's undeniable that everywhere, everyone is on the brink of losing their humanity and their empathy. But to be a person in the world is to do the impossible every day, simply by keeping your eyes open, simply by getting out of bed, simply by facing these incomprehensible horrors again and again, without somehow abandoning your joy." For these next few moments, I just invite you to hold and witness the roiling tumble of feelings, of loss, of fear, of discombobulation, of absurd asks of us in this time, of our humanity, and of the free fall that we experience with unwelcome change. Listen for what all of those feelings have to teach us, how they might deepen our empathy and inform our actions. What about us? If grief is the price of love, our sense of anger, of betrayal, of sadness, of outrage shows us what we value, what we will fight for. The lesson of collective grief can be met with the power of collective action, as so many of us saw yesterday. Thanks to the many folks who have fought oppression for centuries around the world and continue today, there are so many ways we can do it. So I want to ask, if you attended a No Kings event yesterday, would you stand if you're in the sanctuary and raise your hand in the Zoom room? Thank you for witnessing. Thank you for being present. And I have these words from my colleague, Kim Wojewski. Praise for your tired feet and sore backs. Praise for your fingers with their marker stains, your hands that held and raised signs, your voices that shouted and cheered and sang. Praise for the people you stood beside and for standing beside people you didn't know before you became each other's. Praise for the power of the gathered body, the elder who's done this too many times, the child who is learning what it means to citizen, the parent who's grieving the future they did not dream of. Praise for the land that held us all, that has grown flowers out of tears, that teaches us how to root, that reminds us how to rise and push and bloom again and again and again and again, despite how hard the ground becomes, how cold the winter might get, how long the season might be. Again and again, praise for what learns to survive. And praise for you, no matter where you were. Street corner, sidewalk block, couch. It matters, as Mary Oliver says, that you are alive on this fresh morning in this broken world. It matters that you love and are surprised into laughter, that you grieve and fear. Praise yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. Now, whether you are a show up at the rallies person or a give money to the organizers person or a take supplies to the shelters person or an open your doors to the people in need of a place to stay kind of person, or a write all of your elected officials person, or a take care of your neighbors person, or all of the above. Each time we dig deep and reach out with compassion, we are met with the final abiding truth that there is more love than we ever could imagine holding us through all our tears, through our clenched fists and our clenched stomachs, through our sleepless nights and our harried days. So let's sing our faith in the power of that love, which shows up as a soft, warm embrace, and sometimes as a kick in the pants, and once in a while as a splash of cold water, awakening us to what we are called to do, to who we are meant to be. It is right and should be so. We were made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go. Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. You might remember those famous words of William Blake, even be have them in your mind from memorizing them in school. When we're feeling the weight of the world, the call to action, but what action? The suffering and fear and sadness seem relentless. It's a little tricky to imagine the joy that can be part of our weaving. If we let go of the intensity and the seriousness of what's happening around us, are we abandoning the folks who are most vulnerable? If we find ourselves enjoying a crisp fall day or watching something silly on television or making an indulgent meal, are we shirking our duties to our neighbors? Or worse, not living our values? Suleika Jawad is an artist and writer who's in her mid-30s. She's facing her third bout of leukemia. Reflecting on her own survival strategies, she points out that every time we're faced with a situation we didn't expect or do not want, we have to turn to creativity to navigate it, to imagine ourselves out of it. She says, when you're stuck in a hospital bed for many weeks and you can't even open the window, you do have to tap into your imagination to travel beyond those confines. And whether or not you're creative in terms of your work, everything we do requires creativity. A fight with your partner requires creativity. Cooking requires creativity. And once I started to think about survival as its own act of creativity, it shifted something inside me. She tells the story of a plan she had to journal through one of her many challenging bouts of treatment until a medical complication interfered with her vision for weeks. She couldn't see any longer well enough to write. She says, I've had my plans implode enough times that I know that to hold to them is just like a recipe for added despair. And there's an invitation there to make some kind of creative pivot. Instead of writing in my journal, I started keeping a visual journal of the weird nightmares and medication-induced hallucinations I was having. And these nightmares I was having were terrifying to me. But in the act of transcribing them into watercolor, they became interesting to me, and even strangely beautiful. And by the end of that month, my entire hospital room was plastered in these bizarre paintings. And that, to me, is the alchemy I've come to look for when everything goes to pot. And I really find myself with two choices, which is to be in despair or to find some way to creatively make it my own, to become the handler of what plagues me or the handler of my fears, rather than the handled. Folks who live with chronic illness and folks who have lived under chronic oppression have this in common. They know that joy and woe are not a binary or separate really at all, but they're woven together each time we make music or art or love or community, especially when things are not going to plan. Paradoxically, the more we hold on to the intensity and seriousness of our grief, the tighter we hold our woes, the less flexibility and creativity we have to meet them, to move with them, to let them teach us and transform us. And many of us are carrying the weight of all those very real sorrows in our bodies these days. I know sometimes I catch myself driving in my car or typing at my computer with my shoulders all the way up by my ears, my body trying to hold together all the emotions and the to-do list and the what-ifs and the oh-nos of the day. Anyone else have that happen? No? Never. All right, those people have something figured out, so find them after and check out their secret sauce. So I want to invite you, just as we think about that spirit of creativity and meeting those feelings where they are in our bodies, to breathe deep into those places that you are holding tightness, worry, sadness. Breathe deep and just let yourself be aware of where you are carrying pain. pains. And as you breathe in, let yourself offer a kindness to those places, a gentleness, a reverence. And as you breathe out, let them find a place elsewhere. Breathe in again. And as you breathe out, look for the lessons, the information you want to release. In your mind's eye, bow to the wisdom of those tough emotions. And however feels right to you, I invite you to move some part of your body, breathing into it, maybe tensing and letting go, maybe just shifting around to see what might release. I'm going to move my shoulders and neck because that's where it lives for me. Do whatever is good for you. If you need to move around a little more than pews allow, feel free to let yourself do that. And as we move into our next song, I just invite you to gently let it carry you to what needs to loosen in your body, in your heart, in your mind. And as you loosen, see what space there is for something new to arrive. In this season of fire and farewells, I want us to feel that the revolution will be joyful, that we can keep on moving forward full of the imagination that's born of struggle, for each of you to know that your presence matters and your love will be remembered. May love hold us all until we meet again. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. For your people are my people. Your people are mine. Your people are my people. Your divine, my divine. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go, beloved. Where you go, I will go. For your people are my people. Your people are mine. Your people are my people. Your divine, my divine.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.